I had an almost disastrous crash with the P-51. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I completely forgot about it.
It was, and you even showed me this. Was it the a aileron, servo?
Yeah.
Like, it just randomly would jitter or something.
Yeah, I can't remember what. I think it's Pat's got the F4U, and I happen to have the P-51 in the car. I said, hey, let's get out and cruise around. We'll do some formation flying. Oh, that'd be great. All right. So I got out, got all ready, plugged it in, and the aileron servo would just kept going.
What surprised me? You're like, okay, I'm flying.
Yeah, I was like,
what, Chris?
Screw it.
You're defying logic here. I don't understand what's going on here. But anyways, go ahead.
All right, welcome everyone. We're back in the studio for another Flight Test After Hours podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. And actually, this is almost live.
Almost? Almost. Oh, yeah.
Because it is Saturday morning. It's been a rough week for me, and we really couldn't get in here to get one recorded. And, you know, usually we get them out on Friday. So yeah. We are here bright and early. Right, Mike? Bright and early?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
No, he walks in with Mountain Dew. Yeah.
Luckily, we didn't wake anybody up periscoping this morning.
Yeah. So here we are, bright and early, Saturday morning. We're going to record this quick, and then I'm going to stay after and probably edit it and at least shoot it out on the wide world web and get it out there and then go from there. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Lots of stuff to talk about. You know, it's weird. It feels like, I don't know why, maybe it's because we're recording so late that we haven't been in here forever.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. So anyway, with this joining us today, I guess I should say, is our usual crew of Mike, Wayne, and Andre.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
We're all ready to go. We've had our donuts and coffee and Mountain Dew. And so, heck, let's get into it. Let's get going. Where do we want to start? We actually have been out doing a little bit of flying. Mike, right?
You correct.
It's all right, buddy. You can talk now. Okay, first of all, I guess I'll start it off. In case everybody doesn't know, I kind of reluctantly spent the big money and bought the Phantom, finally. On the fence, but I finally did it. So I've been out playing around with that thing a little bit. If you follow the Instagram, you've probably seen a few little things I've thrown on there. The thing so far has just been absolutely phenomenal. Wayne, you stopped over the other day, and I let you just kind of pop it around a little bit.
Yep.
And you actually with the goggles.
Yeah.
So I did put the HDMI module on it, which was very simple. You know, it's $100. You take four screws out, pull the old module out. There's like two ribbons in there. You reconnect it, put the four screws back in, and that's it. You're ready to go, and you basically have an Inspire transmitter.
Yeah, that HeadPlay headset is amazing. Video on that.
Yeah, until you put that on around. I'll talk about it here in a little bit, but I was giving some rides to some kids and even some adults here last Saturday with it, and they were just like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So it was entertaining.
And I kind of hogged it that one day and
battery. No. I only brought one battery. That wasn't a big deal.
I felt bad.
No,
I was like,
no.
This is so cool.
No. So I've been testing that thing out and cranking around, but the true test really was Chad invited us down to his house, and he's like, come on down, we're going to fly, you know. So, of course, Chad, he's been doing this, you know, almost since flight test started, so he's all in it. He flies around his house, which is where we went, and here's me with a $1,400 Phantom here. Was still nervous, you know, getting my feet wet.
I could tell. It was kind of cool to see you nervous, Rich.
True that.
And, you know, and in true Chad fashion, you know, well, first of all, the company bought his Phantom because he's working on some stuff with Lauren. So that was kind of a company purchase. So Chad just fired that thing up, and, you know, Chad took off with reckless abandonment and like, let's go, come on, you know, well, what are you going to do? You're like, well, I guess I just got to go follow him, you know?
I know the feeling.
So, but man, we really had a good time. I do have some video, maybe down the road we'll post it, but, you know, just cranking around, you know, looking through the goggles and chasing you guys around. Mike, you had your H quad up there, yeah. And flying around the tower and you know, out around the track, and just the scenery that evening was fantastic too, because we had a bunch of rain coming through and we were kind of dodging it. Oh, like yeah. You could actually, when you got up, you could actually see the rain showers.
Streams, yeah.
But man, we had a lot of fun. I learned a lot with the Phantom. I mean, I learned its limits on speed, you know, how it handles the wind. You know, we had some wind come through with that one rain shower.
Well, it was fun watching you and Chad pick each other's brains on what you each learned about it too. That, you know, you could learn from each other.
Oh,
different features that it had.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely.
I know he was intrigued with the head play. How the HDMI cable and the module was.
Yeah, he wore the goggles for a battery and just.
I think he might have showed you some different things with map features or something possibly.
Yep.
So. That was kind of neat.
Yeah, so it was. We had a really good time down there.
I wonder if I can get the owner of my company to get me one.
Hey, you never know.
I could use it for photography.
You never know.
Yes, I can't. Hey, like Chris sent me a little snippet of footage because we're going through doing his workflow for video editing, and I mean 1080p 60%. It almost looked, because you were walking, Chris. It almost looked surreal to me as far as what my eye as a video editor is used to.
Uh-huh.
And you know, like your hands, because you're at walking pace almost, but there's no stutter, there's no jitter. That camera is mind-numbing, and you know that one won't do 4K, or will it?
Oh yeah, I got the professional.
Oh gosh.
Go ahead.
When you're using your head play in the HDMI and everything, is that using the Wi-Fi connection to do the video?
No, it's plugged directly HDMI cable right into the module in the controller, and then runs off the light bridge. So you're actually getting 720p through the goggles.
Yeah, but the transmission, the light bridge is basically a high speed Wi-Fi connection. Correct?
Correct. Yes. There's get hardly no lag whatsoever from it.
Did Chad say that that limited your range, or were you not sure?
No, I have a really – it's not really a big issue. I got some different cables coming. I found it's really kind of hard to find a mini HDMI cable to mini HDMI cable. Nobody carries them.
Gotcha.
So yeah. I got a giant – monster cable with some giant adapters that I even had to shave the end of the rubber off to even get them to plug in. Now, the only, not really a big problem, but what I've noticed is, and I talked to Eric Monroe about it, and he doesn't even have the module either, so he doesn't know anything about it. But when I plug in the HDMI into the module for the goggles, on the aircraft status, it tells me that it's dropped my video image. So I don't know if it's interfering with the antenna because of those massive cables of some sort, or I don't know if it's just drawing power from the transmitter, you know, since we're plugging it into the goggles and it's just, you know, lowering the range. I'm not sure. And it comes up and lets you know right away, you know, hey, do not fly, you know, a mile and a half out. And we've tested it, and even at Chad's, it's very subtle too, which is nice. Like you kind of get out of a range, you know, it'll start breaking up a little bit, and you know, it flashes and lets you know that the image quality. And we also did some tests with it. If you remember, Mike, we went out to where I completely lost image through the goggles, hit return to home. Now, I've never remotely even have come close to the range limit on the radio so far, because it does have a little indicator on the app. I've never even seen the bars come down on it at all. So you always have control, and the good thing is, you know, you kind of let go of the stick so it's going to sit and hover. But we tried it a couple times, return to home, and that thing, no problems. And the nice thing about it, you know, you hit return to home when it comes back, and as soon as it gets into image range again, you can just take it back over if you like. So
yeah,
it's not really a big deal. So, go ahead.
So your problem now is you're never going to go back to your DIY projects, are you, after this?
Well, it's funny you say that because, yeah, it's been really tough now, and I'm still learning, you know, doing different things and learning to film with it and stuff. So it's right now that is all I've been doing. Yeah. Everything is kind of been on the back, you know, the back burner.
Well, everybody knows, too, is we do all have jobs outside of this.
Yeah.
Yes. So you know, we need our sleep at night, so we don't spend a lot of times on this, you know, where some people, this is all they do, but, you know, we have a lot of things. We got kids in baseball and second jobs and stuff, so it gets a little tricky. It does. So you have to pick and choose what you get to do right at the moment. So.
Right.
Exactly.
So, but, so far I've just absolutely... I'm glad I spent the money now.
Yeah,
you know, for
what. Yeah, but that's okay though, because here I am. We're closing on my new house here Monday, and once we get moved in, Chris will be fired up again because this will be great. 250 quad sized racing area in the backyard. Yeah. So I can see him building again.
Right,
and give him some motivation.
You know, and the other big thing is, and I know we've all talked, and Andre, we've talked about it too, is. Where you fly kind of determines on a lot of times on what kind of planes you buy.
Yep.
Well, now Wayne has this giant long runway down the side of his house. I'm like, Wayne, this could be a complete game changer on what planes I'm going to be looking at in the future.
Yeah, I can mow that strip down through there nice and low.
Right.
Put some AstroTurf down there and maybe just forget it and just put a asphalt paved
there
down
you go. There. So, that could be a big game changer down the road for sure. But
and speaking of the 250s, I even was finally flying my 250 again.
Oh, that's right. You got upgraded some motors, I believe, right? Yeah.
Yep. And I went and I promptly sheared like four or five sets of Gen Fan props. And I flew FPV for the first time this year, which was just really nice to get back into.
Uh-huh. Well, hey, just a quick question. Do you like cranking around the quad better, FPV, or something like the Bixlr where you kind of just get it up and cruise around?
They're different. I mean, the Bixlr, you're floating around, right? And last year I really enjoyed flying it, but I was having the 5.8 versus the 2.4 interference issues. So I haven't actually flown the Bixlr since last September. So it's almost been a year that I've flown at FPV.
Oh.
But just to get back into flying, you know, actually the quad was a nice way just to get back into getting used to the goggles because my teleporter V3s aren't exactly what you'd call high res. And just to get used to what you're looking to. And I think it took me about three or four flights, and then I was back into drifting around the corner, you know, going through my little yard, you know, skirting between the tree, then the pool, and then the pool heater, and then in behind the tree and back. And, you know, and there were a bunch of obstacles. So when I'd get it right, it was fantastic. When I get it wrong, I'd be shearing props left, right, and center.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I'm getting a little intrigued with this racing, too. I was watching the multi-GP that they recently released of the FPV racing. Oh, man, I wish we could do that. Actually, I can't wait till we
get
do
our quads
something
going.
Like that. Yeah, I have one, but I'd like to get maybe a VersaCopter going, too, possibly. But I can see us enjoying that.
Oh,
it'd be fun to
sure.
get some of the guys around locally do that and try a race event.
I agree.
Because we're all about the same ability, I think, with it, too. We're all kind of, you know, where you're not so much intimidated by, like they pointed out in their podcast, with the professionals, or you're going up against, like, NBA players.
Yeah, I'm not going to race up against Alex. Ain't no way.
So I think it'd be great for us to try to do something like
Alex
that.
Alex can close one eye and tie his hands behind his back and fly with his feet and still beat me.
Exactly. They would say before I got off the ground, he'd be already a lap ahead of me.
Even in their episode, Josh was going real slow. It's kind of nice to see that they accepted that as well. So, but anyways, I didn't mean to get off.
It's all about fun for us, though. You do your best, but let's have some fun.
And Mike, I have seriously got to give you props on your flying skills lately, because when we were out there Saturday watching you fly your H quad, I was highly impressed.
Really?
Seriously. I mean, watching you and, you know, up around
Chad
that tower.
Chad tempted me to go through an obstacle.
I was wondering, you're getting real close.
Well, he had me actually go through I'm not going to discuss
that one, I know.
I was nervous. He's like, but your footprint's so much smaller. I just did it with a Phantom. You should be able to blow through there. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but if it goes wrong, it goes really, really wrong.
We had a near crash with the Phantom. I was watching him with my H-Quad, and he didn't realize it because he just left the sticks and was helping someone. So I kind of creeped up on him and was staring at it. And I'm hoping to get this out on Instagram. I'm going to do a little clip so you can see. But we both came in real, like he came in at me, and then we both went back real hard on the stick, and you can see it, and it's pretty cool. We both scared each other in that little event.
Yeah, Chad and I did exactly the same thing. I think Andre, I sent you a little picture of it. We were probably 20 feet apart, and
he'd come in on each
not
other.
Knowing. Yeah, we both decided we were going to go in closer, and next thing you know, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, you don't have your reckon. Yeah. You don't have your reckon that equipment. That's for sure.
So fun. Hey, one other quick story with the Phantom, and then we'll move on. Actually, I got a couple little sort of crash stories, nothing big. But Wayne, you kind of know what was going on because you stopped over. But we had a little girl was having a birthday party. She was turning 7, and they're friends of ours, and she's a friend of my son's. And we were talking and stuff, kind of joking around, and my wife and I were like, you know, it'd be kind of funny. I had the Phantom out that morning. I was tinkering around with it. She was kind of half joking, like, you ought to just deliver her birthday present with that. And I was like, the little bell light bulb went off, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I go, well, maybe we can do something like that. And she just kind of looked at me like, oh, here we go.
Oh, no, what did I just do?
You opened up that box.
Yeah. So what I did was I got some pretty long string, made like a Y harness, tied it onto the landing gear, and probably had another 15 feet of string with. And then at the bottom, I had kind of a heavy clip for weight. And for a test, I got a birthday card and put it on the end, and then we took it up, flew it around the house a little bit, and no problems. I mean, whatsoever.
No.
So once we figured out that would work, I said, okay, this is what we're gonna do, and. Of course, and there's my wife. She wanted to put streamers on it and all this stuff. And the more she kept putting on, the more nervous. I said, okay, that's enough. Yeah. She goes, oh, but it doesn't weigh. I said, I don't care if it doesn't weigh anything. So we head over to the birthday, and she dropped me off probably about roughly around a quarter mile away from the actual house. And then she drove down, and they gathered everybody up. Now, what I did is I took off, and again, I was sweating bullets over this because I just...
Oh, man, yeah, this is
if,
new.
If I... Yeah, well, I wasn't in, you know, eyesight of it the whole time. But so my plan was I got up high to where they, you know, they couldn't really notice it or hear it, flew over to the house, and then put the camera down, then slowly lowered it down. So when she looked up, all of a sudden this birthday present started coming out of the sky. So it actually worked out, I mean, phenomenal. Got it up over the house and pointed the camera down, lowered it slowly. You know, of course, I told her dad in advance. I said, no, I want you to get the present. I don't want the kids around it. The video of it, watching it through you know, the goggles and everything, was unbelievable. It was so cool, you know, with the camera pointed down and seeing that card. Yep. Everything worked great. I mean, the kids were just like, oh, this is great. You know, oh, man, I can't believe, you know.
And you could see all their excitement as coming in that, too.
But here's the bad point, Mike. Mm-hmm. I forgot to hit record.
Yeah.
So we have nothing.
What is it with my friends not hitting record? Oh. I have a guy at work. His buddy shot one of the biggest bucks they're ever going to take, and he had it on, thought he had it on film, and he was taping a squirrel before. He didn't hit the record button. Like, oh. You guys are killing me here. I can't believe you did the same.
Right after the
the
delivery happened and I started back up, I realized it. And I was almost dejected. Almost was like, do over, you know, but you lose that
initial.
Yeah. And my wife's like, oh, honey, great job. You know, that was great. And I was all, she's like, well, what's wrong? I forgot to hit record.
Oh, my gosh. You're killing me. Yeah.
So anyway, that's been my little fun stuff with the Phantom so far. And we got some stuff in the works, you know, we're going to do some good filming we've been talking about. So it ought to be fun. Couple things real quick. I don't know if I forgot to talk about it last time or whatever. But anyway, Mike, if you remember, we were out flying with Scott and Pat. And I had an almost disastrous crash with the P-51. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I completely forgot about it.
It was, and you even showed me this. Was it the aileron? It just randomly would jitter something.
Yeah, I can't remember what. I think it's Pat's got the F4U, and I happen to have the P-51 in the car. I said, hey, let's get out and cruise around. We'll do some formation flying. Oh, that'd be great. All right. So I got out, got all ready, plugged it in, and the aileron servo would just kept going.
What's surprising, you're like, okay, I'm flying. Yeah, I'm like, what, Chris?
Screw it. I know.
You're defying logic here. I don't understand what's going on here. But anyways, go ahead with your story.
So I said, forget it. Well, I'm just flying it. So we took off. Everything was good for a little while and crank around. And all of a sudden, that aileron servo locked in an up position. And I was like, crap, going down, going down, going down. I don't know how, but I got it. I saved it at the very end. It kind of went into the grass. And went over, picked it up. We come back, checked it out. And here, one of the plugs in the Y harness was just a little bit loose.
That's right.
Like, just enough where it would work, and then it wouldn't. It would work, and then, I don't know, maybe it was I was inverted the one time or whatever, and it came out, and that was it. That aileron servo just locked up. But I saved it. But the funny thing was, Pat was telling us he was so impressed with us doing that formation flying. He went out there that next weekend and bought an FMS. What did he get? I think a Spitfire Warbird. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. He was like, that was just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were flying some high speeds with the racer after you left. And I'm like, oh, I wish Chris was here
to see
some of that, because it was pretty phenomenal
what
he was doing with that racer. Wow. Yes, it was awesome.
So, and the only other incident I had was we were aboard, was it last weekend? It was hot last weekend. It was in the 90s. So we were just kind of hanging out at the pool, and the kids and I were like, well, we should make an Instagram video. I'm like, all right, let's, whatever you want to do. So they wanted to do something with a pool. So I got out the Nano QX.
Yes,
and I realized after a while, you know, those motors just, that little Nano FPV QX, I've flown the absolute daylights out of it. And Wayne, he's already replaced his motors. So I think mine were starting to go. It was kind of flying a little funny, and I could tell it didn't have quite the power. And I don't know what it is when you get that thing kind of over water and it's close. It just wants to just suck it right down.
Yeah.
So, again, it was like, screw it, we're doing it. And some of the kids were in the pool, and I was flying the Nano QX over the pool and having problems. I probably should have stopped, but we were trying to get the shot, you know, like the true professionals we are. And... on the last, you know, that one more time. Oh, let's one more. I think we can get it one more, a little bit better. That thing just sucked right in the water and down it went.
Oh!
I thought I read that you said you did.
Yeah,
did happen.
It went, and I'm screaming. I couldn't reach it. I almost dove in, clothes and all. And my son, I'm yelling at him. Grab it! Unplug the battery! Unplug the battery! This thing is sinking. But again, it's amazing. We pulled it out, unplugged the battery, dried it off, and it's fine. No problems.
Yep. Little 1S power, right?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of voltage going through the poor little thing. So.
Right, right, right. And, you know, of course, Wayne, he put his in the crick and it still works. So,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. let's see what else. Oh, real quick, the FAA finally released in beta the Before You Fly app. So it is out. You can check it out. It's not bad, especially for some people that aren't, you know, real sure of things or where I can fly and everything. So if you want to go check that out, it's the letter B, the number 4, the letter U, fly, FLY. And that's out for beta right now. So anybody out there, go check it out if you're not real sure about rules, regulations, where you can and can't fly, and altitudes, excuse me, and all that. So check it out. Real quick, before we get into our products, which is kind of that's what we're here for, I seen, you know, a lot of people out there priority know that they had a, well, they weren't sure who it was at first, but they had a 3DR Solo crashed at the U.S. Open.
Mm.
Kind of freaked a lot of people out for a while.
Yeah.
I guess it turns out it was a teacher from the New York area, and they actually arrested him, and they're filing criminal charges against him.
I say do it.
Yeah.
I say pull off the gloves and give it to him, because you know what? These people have to learn there's price to pay.
Yeah.
And it's making it bad for the rest of us. So
yeah.
I don't have any sympathy for the guy. I mean, that was just pure stupid.
Yeah. I was reading through the article a little bit. It was kind of funny, though, because they already had some lawyers. You know, he's obviously lawyering up and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But they're already stating that they're not really sure that they're going to be able to do anything, because all he's got to do is say, hey, I was flying way over here. Something happened and it took off on its own.
Mm.
So.
And then does 3DR become a target? Oh.
Yeah, that could get ugly. I mean, yeah. It depends if he mans up and goes, "Yeah, this is what I did. I'll accept the responsibility," or if he's gonna go and go, "Hey, man,
Glitch, yeah.
So.
Well, they just need to look at the footage and they'll know right away, right? So.
You can tell if it was flying around it was recording,
right?
Yeah.
And then crashed. No, and then he's done.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
But, so that'll be.
But still, but, that means he was still flying where he shouldn't have been flying. So
right. Yes, there are already rules about stadiums and that already. So yeah. But as soon as that photo broke, I mean, I think within 30 seconds, we're all like, "Oh, we know what that product is," you know?
Yeah. Oh, I remember too. I read last night. I forget the whole article, but there was another one. The only reason I'm bringing these up is because, you know, we've hear a lot about a lot of the incident stuff, but now they're starting to kind of do something about it, which right. I think is good, because other people are going to go, "Well, maybe I shouldn't do this because this guy's in jail, or this guy got fined." You know what I mean? It was I don't know if it was a teacher or a student down at the University of Kentucky. He crashed one into their stadium down there a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So that's the one I read about.
And then, of course, like Andre brought up earlier before we started talking online here, about the guy that they finally busted that was within 50 feet of an LAPD helicopter. It was like, have at it, guys. Wow. I mean, come on. You know.
These helicopter Sorry.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Oh, that's what they just need to have.
Just stop signs, you know?
I'll wait for one of these clowns to pull up against an Apache or something.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and they just fire that thing right out of the sky. Boom!
Zap it.
Oh, that would be funny. All right, anything else anybody wanted to touch on? Anything? Nope.
We're good.
Okay. All right. Hey, let's get into some new products, because holy cow, in the last probably month, I don't think I've ever seen this many new products come out. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah. Take your pick.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to go to this real quick. Oh, of course I lost it. I don't know what's going on with Horizon Hobby. I have never seen them guys put out so much stuff ever that I can ever.
Well, the market's there now. People are into it. RC's getting a lot bigger.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, you know what, Chris? I'm looking at the page you sent me, and on our favorite subject, the Certain T28. Scroll down.
Yep.
And tell me what you see. I'm a little confused. Well,
the Carbon Z or Bind and Fly Basic?
You've got the new 1.2 meter,
yep.
But then they also have the Bind and Fly Basic back.
Okay.
The old G28 is back.
Yes. Now, I'm like you. I have heard rumors and rumors that thing was done and gone, going to be discontinued. But I heard through the grapevine, and I could be way off, but I kind of heard that everybody was like, "Hey, man, you can't get rid of that plane. It's an original." And Horizon's already even said it's just been an absolute phenomenal seller, and it flies fantastic, and that's why they've kind of kept it around. So they brought it back as a Bind and Fly Basic. Now, I'm just going to guess here, and my opinion is, you know, they brought out the new 1.2 meter Trojan with the flaps and the retracts and everything. Now, I'm kind of like you, Andre. It's very close to an FMS or a Durafly or whatever.
Yeah.
So what we've kind of noticed, well, of course, you know, the Bind and Fly Basic is going to be cheaper too, because it's, you know, fixed gear, no flaps. But I remember when we were testing even the Durafly ones at flight test, was they do fly great and everything, but the regular Trojan Bind and Fly Basic, you know, for more of a beginner, is way easier to fly. Mm-hmm. It's slower. The handling characteristics are better. So I think they're just kind of holding on to that for somebody who kind of...
That's your number two plane.
Exactly.
And then if you want to step up, well, and you still like the T28 look, well, there's your 1.2 meter basic.
Now. Right. Where, you know, you're stepping up to the, I don't know if that one's got, it might have the lights, I can't remember, we'll have to look. But anyway, you know, it has the retracts and the flaps and everything. But I'll tell you what, the cool thing about the regular old Trojan, though, and mine's been modified 100 times, is, you know, you can fly that till you get to the point where, hey, you know, I want to add some flaps. It's very easy to cut a little bit of foam, throw a couple servos in there, add flaps, upgrade the motor. So I kind of see why they, you know, they kept it. So, and the other thing, I guess while we're on that subject, let's start off with the Carbon Z T28.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to say, but wow.
Yeah.
Adam Drain was putting out some pictures, and it's one thing to see the PR photos, and then it's another thing to see the stuff in person. And
Wow. Yeah, and just give you a couple now, the thing that intrigued me, too, is because I have the Carbon Z Cub, and I know what that plane does with that motor and battery and everything. So now you have a T28 running the same motor and the same battery. Oh, man, I would just love to get my hands on one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's typical tricycle electric. It's got their electric retracts on it, operational flaps. It's got the rigid Carbon Z construction. Power 60 size brushless motor, 7 high quality Metal Gear servos. Again, it takes a 6S 3500 to 5000 milliamp battery. That is a big battery, tell you.
That's a big
plane. Big plane. What is it? 78 inch wingspan. It's 12 pounds weight wise. it is amazing. Every video, I know Andre sent me some. I seen the stuff from Adam Drain, even the Horizon videos they've put out. That plane, mm-hmm. If I had a really nice place and a runway and somewhere I could fly it.
Yeah.
And some way to transport it.
Well, it's got the detachable wings, so I don't think that's – and even my Cub, I bet the wings are probably easier to take off and put on than what my Carbon Z Cub mm-hmm. wings are, because I got to do the struts. But even so, oh, man, I would – because, Wayne, you have the big FMS T28, which, again, is one of my absolute mm-hmm. favorite planes. Yeah. And, again, if you had a great place to fly it because, that plane flies phenomenal.
Well, you will.
That's true. Yeah, we get that deck on that mower, get that new mower out there. It's
does the Carbon Z Cub use the same battery? Or?
Same battery, okay. Same motor.
I didn't know.
Yep. So that thing, it just looks phenomenal. The plug and play is 519, and they do make a bind and fly, which I think was 549 or something like that.
With AS3X.
Yeah, with AS3X, which me personally, that's what I would go for. All right, let's jump back up to the top here, and I was shocked. They've been coming out with quite a few helicopters and mm-hmm. upgrades, and the first thing I want to start off with is they have the new Nano CP ready to fly in the bind and fly helicopters. Now, anybody out there, if you remember, the Nano CP's been around for a long time, and they've slowly tweaked it and upgraded it through the last couple years. I know Wayne, me and you have flown them. Actually, a guy let us fly his when they first come out up there at that indoor event. Mm-hmm. Fantastic flying little helicopter. And again, it's one of those things where if you kind of want to get into the 3D stuff and you don't want to spend the money and spend the time fixing it when you crash it, there's two things that are great about this helicopter. One, it's a Nano. And I know they had a couple, not these ones, but the older ones here at Flight Test. And you can crash the daylights out of them out in the grass, and you're not going to hurt it. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing now is it's the S. That's just my phone. So you have the safe technology built right in. So if you're mm-hmm. out flying around, get all disoriented, guess what? Push the button, boom, that mm-hmm. thing's right straight level. And so I think that's a fantastic idea for a helicopter, because I couldn't tell you how many hours I've wasted back in the day rebuilding heads, and oh, what a nightmare. Now, here's one. Well, let's see. I'll give you the price points. The Ready to Fly is $129. The Nano CP Bind and Fly is only $99. Yeah. I think that is a great bargain.
Yep.
Flies on a one cell, $150. And it has the three flight modes, stability mode, agility mode, and 3D mode. And it always has a panic recovery mode. Lightweight, 3D performance, LiPo power, fully assembled. For $99, that's a bargain.
That's worth getting into,
Oh, absolutely. Huh. All right. Now, the next one, I know, Wayne, you've been interested in this. And I'm kind of shocked that they've actually put something out like this. But they have a new Micro AH-64 Apache.
Yeah.
And, man, does that thing look cool good?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, it's got the lights, it's got the four-blade rotor, it's collective pitch. I mean, it's a regular licensed aircraft. Let's see here. It says, put yourself in the action of the Blade Micro AH-64 Apache scale helicopter, engineered around the abilities of innovative AS-3X fly barless technology, which is awesome because I used to hate the older helicopters where they all look all scale and then they have the big fly bar hanging off of them. Rock solid flight performance makes flying this highly detailed heli as comfortable as possible. Although the machine looks like a heavy hitter, it is crisply detailed, molded body is lightweight. Rotary ultra micro servos are uniquely mounted for an efficient link that also allows a four-bladed head to mount as low as possible for brilliant scale effect. Brushless power is used at the main gear to offer gutsy cyclic and collective performance, while a fast response motor on the four-blade tail rotor keeps your headings locked in. Whether you're new to scale heli flight or a seasoned expert, this is one heli you don't want to keep tied down. Again, it's got the safe technology on it, AS3X, great detail, brushless power, collective pitch. It's a little bit bigger than a really a small micro. It's
It's a 2S battery.
Yeah, it's 400 milliamp 2-cell LiPo battery. It's 13.8 inches in length. The rotor diameter is 12.5, so it's not really big, but not something you're probably going to fly around in the house.
Probably not.
And that also comes in ready to fly for $249.
Isn't that a sweet
image? Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine them coming
at you like that? Yeah.
The head-on shot of that thing.
Bind and fly $209.
It's pretty nice.
That is a really cool-looking little helicopter. I'd like to see one of those in person and fly. Yeah.
Yep,
for sure. Then Blade also brought out a 270 CFX bind and fly basic helicopter, which is, I think, like their old 300 that they used to have. And it's, you know, full-on 3D capable helicopter. Let's see. Blade 270 CFX heli goes beyond unlimited power for its size, combining the 22.2-volt LiPo battery in the mini-class machine with a rigid carbon fiber airframe. The result is a helicopter you can pound the pitch with and still have power in reserve. But what sets the 270 CFX truly apart is its exclusive partnership with Spectrum Beast X and Safe Technologies bringing it together. Not only will you get industry-leading control and utter precision that's absolutely stable, Safe Technology helps you prevent the crash at the time with a push of the panic recovery mode. I'll tell you what, they're really they're using that panic mode. 22.2 volts power system. Man, that's for that size heli, that's a lot of power. Has a new AR710BX Spectrum. One single component unit lets you get the combined benefits of a high-speed 7-channel receiver, 6-axis fly-barless system all in one. Castle Creations ESC. Let's see. High-speed Metal Gear servos. That's quite the heli there. Reading through the specs here. Rotor blade length is 10.63 inches.
Ooh. That's a... Yeah.
Yeah. That's just one blade. That's a pretty good size machine. Collective fit, yeah. So there you have it. The Blade 270 CFX Bind and Fly Basic. That's above my capabilities there. They are coming out with a Chroma backpack, so if anybody out there has the Chromas, they got one specifically made just for them. Retails for, I don't know how they get the prices of these backpacks, $150. Mm. I got mine to fit my Phantom from Hobby King. I think it was $40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brand naming. Yeah. We also have a new little, real quick.
We've seen this.
What's that?
The Mach 25.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, we seen that at the show back in April, so I don't know what's going on with that, why the delay, but it's still in their new products page, is a Mach 25 FPV racer.
Yeah.
So we've talked about that. It's a little pricey, $429, I think. You know,
Yeah.
And it's still not due out till looks like the end 24th. Of September. Mm-hmm. Wow, man, that thing's been on hold for a while.
Oh, that is the one we saw.
Yeah.
That's going to miss that. Well, I mean, it'll be in time for indoor flying season, I suppose.
But, yeah.
You know, it's a little late to the game.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, too, I don't know. The technology on the little racers moves so fast, but, you know, by the time that thing gets out, I don't know.
Or maybe that's why it's taking this
time. That could
be.
Maybe they're doing some refinements to it. You know, that's very possible, too. Dramatis got a new Vista FPV UAV quadcopter coming out. You know, we've all flown the... Ominous. Yeah, the Ominous quad has been just a durable, tough, beat the daylights out of it, cheap. Well, I shouldn't say cheap. Well, it is cheap, you know, for what you're getting, you know, $70. And they are coming out, I think, with just a regular Vista quadcopter, too. And as you can see, if you look at the pictures, they've kind of upgraded the frame, and I think they've made it a little beefier because some friends of ours do have the regular Ominous. And if you beat it in the ground hard enough, them arms break off. So mm-hmm. now it almost looks like kind of like an H. You know, they've got it beefed up. So that'll be coming out. Actually, that one ain't going to be out till around December. That's $139 for the FPV.
That's almost like a perfect little stocking gift, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And somebody who wants
3 days before Christmas.
Yeah. And somebody who wants it, you know, on the fence with FPV or really doesn't want to spend a lot of money, you know, they're not that bad. You know, it's a little laggy on the Wi-Fi, but if you just want to go poke around the backyard with your phone.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. It made me crazy.
If you fly normal FPV a lot and then go back to that, it will kind of drive you crazy. But for somebody who's never done it, to be able to just, you know, watch and fly their quadcopter, that's not bad.
I know I'm going to be looking for a indoor nanoblade-ish. Now that I've got that FPV system sitting on top of the Vapor, I've got a camera and transmitter ready to go. So I'm going to be looking for a, you know, bind and fly kind of scenario for my setup very soon, to the winter kind of thing. So because, I mean, last year I missed the boat on the blade FPV stuff, right? So
yeah, right. I don't know. I have this sneaky suspicion here. Once fall rolls around, that Horizon or something else is going to be coming out. I kind of heard through the grapevine they got some bigger batteries coming out. You know, one cell like 200 and 300. So I think somewhere around in there that they're going to have a quad going to come out FPV, probably about the same size, but maybe you're going to get
more than 3 minutes flight.
It seems
like I think we're starting to see where the brushless technology is getting down to the size and the efficiency of the brush motors, right?
Yeah, as far as micro and the weight and everything, yeah.
So we're getting there, and obviously the brushless offers a little better performance.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to see some nice changes, I think, in the near future.
I agree. I think here in the fall and coming in the winter, there's going to be some cool stuff coming out here. And, you know, before we know it, we're going to be doing some indoor micro FPV racing, I think, you know.
Yep.
The other thing we talked about a little bit, I might have been on the last podcast or the one before, is the new Radian Bind and Fly Basic.
Yay!
Yeah. Which is kind of strange too. Now it's an E-Flight instead of a Park Zone. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure why they changed that.
I think you're seeing the Park Zone. The E-Flight is making a. You know, I think they're just going to start sticking everything under one brand name. Because you look at the Park Zone's aircraft now, and it's pretty sparse.
Yeah, it is. And
it's almost like all the UMX stuff is going to go with to Park Zone, and then all the big stuff is E-Flight.
Hmm. Well, I know they switched everything over. Is all the UMX stuff is now E-Flight. I know that for a fact. So maybe Park Zone's kind of drifting off. I don't know. But I kind of agree. They just need a few things instead of 900 different, you know, E-Flight, Park Zone, Hobby Zone. You know, one question I had about the new Radian, though, I wonder, obviously the wings now, you can put the little screw in them, but I wonder if it's still the old school where, you know, you can slide them in and then you have that option to put the screw in there if you want. It'd be something interesting to know. So we kind of touch on that. It's pretty much the same, different scheme. I think they changed a few of the, what do I want to call it? You know how the old Radian had the little thumb screw thing? Yep. So I know those have changed.
Yes.
But other than that, it's exactly the same. You know, still has a 480 brushless motor, 30 amp ESC. Does have the 4-channel AR400 DMX receiver in it.
I'd like to pick one up just because mine's getting old. So I think it's time to refresh.
put some lights into the old one, and then you have your nice, sleek, daylight one there. And,
well, my old one does have lights on it, so I could just go ahead.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Next on the list, they put out a Brave Night Flyer Bind and Fly Basic. Now, I've been intrigued with this plane because I've always been a Piper Pawnee fan. They've been around forever. They've used them for glider towing. They've converted them over for crop dusting. They're called like an air tractor. Really different, funky looking airplane. They're almost kind of ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you stare at it, for some reason, it kind of grows on you. And at first, I was like, "Eh, whatever." But the more I look at it, more videos I've watched, and with the lights and everything, I think this is a plane, Andre. We've talked a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of your all around go to good flying airplane, because a Piper Pawnee is always known as a fantastic flying airplane. Usually as it looks like it's got plenty of power, throw some skis on it, has the AS3X. So that could be another fantastic flying winter airplane. And that could be one of the things too, with the lights, you run home, it's got the skis on it, you do a few flights and it's getting dusk. Well, boom, you got the lights.
And
the cool thing about the lights is it's now on a switch you can use off your radio. You can turn them on and off.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, you don't either have to have them on or off. The other cool thing is that if you're not running the full night lights, it actually has, one thing I really like about our Beaver, it's the navigation lights. It's got the navigation lights and the landing lights in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is them look so cool at dusk when they're going. Let's see, real quick.
Getting into winter, it gets darker earlier, so this is the kind of stuff.
Right.
That was the first thing when I looked at it, and it probably have the same glow effect that the night visionary has.
That's what I'm looking at,
have those navigation lights, which makes all the difference.
Right, and the thing with the Pawnee, too, is, you could do it with the night visionary, too, but... when we were flying at night, if you really kind of want to go out and do 3D, I felt it was kind of hard. And a couple other people I talked to thought the same thing. And you could just go out and just fly it.
Just fly it, right.
But then it kind of defeats the purpose of the airplane, where that's what it's built for, is just either cruise around, have fun. So I think
it'd
be
cheaper.
Exactly. And it's cheaper. Let's see, real quick. E-Flight Piper Pawnee Night Flyer is a scale park flyer for the intermediate pilot who wants a nimble airplane that can be flown practically any time of day, like a respectable crop duster should. This scale-inspired design lacks plenty of power under the hood. Besides a four-channel control and the steerable tail wheel, working nav lights, and a touch of realism that makes getting up for early flights at dawn even more tempting. Even more vibrant is the hollow core structure that has been filled with a push-button-controlled LED lighting system so that it's practically impossible to lose this model in the dark. In addition, the finely-tuned AS3X technology adds the kind of stability that makes dusting around ground low and slow pure joy. The agricultural business attracts a wide range of pilots, all wanting to make screaming down the deck and between power lines a seasonal job. I don't know if I recommend the power line thing. Let's see. Dedicated crop duster designs truly put the needs of the pilot in the forefront, with features like protective cockpits and gobs of power to make tight, safe turns. Happening upon the crop duster in action over a lush field of grain is equivalent to an impromptu air show complete with low passes and graceful arc turns. The E-Flight Pawnee Brave Night Flyer allows RC pilots to dart across a field just like the real thing, day or night. I was trying to see if it said anything. AS3X, internal LEDs, external navs, inspired by the full-scale external navigation lights on the wingtips, plus the landing light recessed into the wing leading edge, offers us additional sense of flight orientation, which we just talked about.
Yep.
Let's see. Push-button controlled LED. Six-channel AR636D SMX receiver, 15-size brushless motor, 30-amp ESC, 3-cell 2200 Z-foam. It has a nice big set of aluminum landing gear on it that looks really tough. So, if you put some bigger wheels on that for the grass, I don't really think – I can't see you ripping that out as easy as something like maybe the –
Sukhoi.
Yes, thank you, the Sukhoi.
It should be neat. It should be really neat. I'm the only thing I could see was that three-bladed prop. Probably we could switch over to a two-bladed right away for efficiency.
You could, yeah, sure. That's a good point. It's pretty good size, too. It's 48-inch, 45.8 ounces.
Has flaps, but they're not installed. I don't know why they keep doing that to people.
Yeah, I mean, I think what do you have to do? Put in the servo, probably? Yeah. Which, you know, you can put in a couple $2, you know, 9-gram cheap servos.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I'm like you. I kind of don't understand if they got everything ready to go. And just put the two servos in there. If you don't want to use them, you don't have to hook them up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the Brave Nightflyer. That's the interesting airplane right there. It's kind of on my radar and on my list.
I'll let you know how it flies.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You have one. Oh, you dirty dog. You dirty dog, you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he needs planes with lights because the sun doesn't come up in the wintertime, does it, up there? You know, it goes dark for 6 months or something like it.
I don't see daylight unless I'm at work at lunchtime, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be, you know, but no, this one is has been pre-ordered. Interesting enough, I see October 24th. It's going to be a while yet.
Just curious because kind of, Andre, when we first were looking at or whatever, we were both kind of like, whatever, we're not really intrigued. So what kind of changed your mind on that? Because I was shocked you actually ordered one. I didn't think that was something really on your list.
What we just talked about, and we know my fleet. I mean, which is my lovely wife's been counting my planes.
Oh, that's never good.
But I kind of like looking at stuff, and you know, this fits into that fall winter class, or exactly what we've talked about. I mean, I don't like taking my. There's going to be a point where nothing else will fly, and it's not like I'm going to go strap skis onto my Sukhoi. I guess I could, with the lights and that reinforced landing gear, it kind of tick, tick, tick. I'm like, this plane will do exactly what I'm looking for. It's not overly huge. It's not overly complex. Uh-huh. And, you know, after I froze my fingers up last year, I said, this winter, airplanes that I can use my transmitter mitt with are so a lot of the planes are just going to get hung up and just say, you know, I'm not going to risk myself like I did last year, like trying to fly the EFX Racer and hands exposed for 5 minutes, you know, even with gloves on. And the flying and takeoff is no problem. It's trying to land it when your fingers are numb, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
So this plane, I was like, hey, this is, you know, this is going to be something that I can potentially throw skis onto. I don't even need skis on the Fun Cup because it just takes off.
Right.
And then I've got the Sky Mule as well, which has skis. So there, you know, there's potentially three airplanes that'll go really well for the winter. So that's why this one got a lot of check marks in the box. And, you know, even if it was available or even if it was on the same price as the Night Vision Air, but it's not. The Night Vision Air is like, what, another $100?
It's close to that, I think. I think it's right around, I'll have to look. I don't remember.
I thought the Night Vision Air was more expensive, so this one won. And I said, you know what, I like the style of it, too. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of goofy and fun looking.
Right,
know?
Yeah, yep, yep.
So we'll give it a shot, and I'll let you know.
I'm excited to hear about that one. All right, next on the list, and this – actually, the next two planes really kind of surprised me and shocked me. But this one potentially – I don't know where this came from, kind of out of left field, and they just announced it this Thursday. They have a new P-51D Mustang, and it's a 1.2-meter bind-and-fly basic, 269. It looks a lot like the Durafly series or the FMS. Yeah, and I was really shocked to see them come out with another P-51 when they just come out with one last year in the E-Flight range, which is just a little bit smaller. I want to say it's 43 inches. I could be wrong, and this one I believe is 48 inches. But the weird thing about this, they're almost identical. They both have the electric retracts, the functional flaps, 15-size brushless power system, the Z-Foam, except this one's a little bit bigger, and they even run on the same battery. So, but it's quite a bit heavier. So I'm just kind of wondering why they would, you know, put out another P-51 almost the same size, unless they're going to phase out the other one and kind of stick to this 1.2 meter stuff, which seems to be everybody's going to nowadays anyway. I am a little bummed. You know, the P-40 just got released, which I think you might have one of those coming also, Andre. But I kind of like what Durafly is doing, where they kind of give you the option where you could fly it either on 3-cell or 4-cell.
Or 4-cell, yes.
So I think they kind of goofed up in that market to where it'd be fantastic. You know, hey, if you got a ton of 3-cell 2200s and you want to fly scale speed, that's fine. But you want to have a little fun, step it up, put a 4-cell 2200 in it. Because with that size and weight and everything, that, you know, should be able to handle the 4-cell. But I don't know with that Power 15 size motor and the 40 amp if it's going to handle a 4-cell. So I'm a little baffled by that one. I'm not really sure anybody else agree with that.
And to come out with a Mustang.
Yeah, come out with something else. You already have a P-51 that's almost identical. Bring us something else out, you know?
A little variety, unless this is just the first step. In their process, so we'll see. Maybe a Mustang, maybe a Corsair, but those are all been done. So it's
I agree. And then adding right on to that, they brought out the T28 1.2 meter bind and fly basic. T28.
Yeah,
and again, that looks just like the FMS or the Durafly or the Dunhams. I mean, they're real close.
Staple plane.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as we'll harp on it, I actually applaud them, eFlight, for doing things like keeping the basic, you know, the other, the normal T28 in the market and stuff like that. So being bold enough to say, you know, we have a staple that works.
Uh-huh.
If from a marketing standpoint, they could almost say, you know, here's your first plane. You know, you start with the Apprentice, and then you go into your T28 without the retracts. And then if you're really keen, you go onto this plane, the 1.2 meters. So they're almost, you know, I wonder if product-wise they're starting to step themselves that way, saying, you know, phase one, phase two, phase three planes.
Oh, I totally agree. And you know, when Durafly and Dunham and all those started coming out with like these 1.2 meter, like the T28s with the retracts and the flaps and the lights and everything, I think it really kind of hurt them, you know, took a lot of their market share because people were looking for more scale, more things, you know, the flaps and the electric retracts and everything. So, I mean, I kind of see where they're going with this. I agree with you. All right, enough of that one. Now, here's another one that I don't know if I'd buy one, but it's beautiful looking. I'm kind of intrigued. I want to see one in person. And again, I got to applaud Horizon a little bit. They're listening to their customers. It's a new Ultra Micro P47 Bind and Fly Basic. Looking at this thing with the detail, and what's really cool, it's a Razorback because a lot of companies now are, you know, just have the regular P47s. You don't see the Razorbacks much anymore. But the cool thing about this now, it's brushless power.
Yeah.
It's got the 180 BL brushless motor, runs on the, 2-cell 200 plus, LiPo battery, which is just fantastic. It's got the AS3X technology, removable landing gear. And I think I have to try to read through this. I watched the product review a little bit. I think this is one of the first Ultra Micros where you can take off the tail wheel too. So not only in the mains, you can take off the, so you have a full, you know, like scale looking gear up, you know,
when it's in the air. Yes.
Yeah. Warbird.
Yeah. And for most of the Ultra Micros, like, why would you leave the gear on? Right.
I'm like that too. They look so good with the gear off. Yeah. It is a little bit bigger than the regular Ultra Micros. It's got a 19-inch wingspan, flying weight's 3.35 ounces. I guess it's really not that much bigger, actually.
Well, I mean, if the ESC and the motor are taking up, they needed the extra wing, you know, span to support the lift.
Yeah. But, man, it's a beautiful-looking airplane.
It looks nice, yeah. Yeah.
So, let's keep it on track with the Ultra Micros. They also brought out a new Ultra Micro P3 Revolution bind and fly. Oh, by the way, the P47 is 129, and the P3 that we're going to talk about is 139. And I don't know a whole lot about this plane. E-Flight Ultramicro P3 Revolution biplane is a Mike McConnellville adaptation of the unique aircraft designed for Skip Stewart air shows, an exclusive E-Flight model for this size, delivering 3D performance capability and the stability of AS3X. It is a biplane. It's inspired by the adrenaline rush, and entertainer Skip Stewart has defined what a high-performance air show should be with an intentionally recognized level of showmanship. Together, Skip and the aircraft form a sentiment combination that seemingly make air and gravity bend upon command. The radical design of the P-3 Revolution aircraft is laser-focused on giving Skip a giant performance and leap in all dimensions. The P-3, like I said, designed by Mike McConnellville. At a glance, its tapered wings, contoured fuselage comprise nothing but about this biplane is typical. Enormous control surfaces allow the P-3 to execute binding gyrations with the authority to deliver 3D maneuverability at your command. But no matter how you fly, the innovative AS3X technology makes Airshow Original perform as if you were at the controls of a giant scale machine that's been expertly tuned. So that's the, let's see if there's anything else in there. Ultra lightweight, license, like I said, brushless 180, 3000 kV motor, 3-in-1 receiver, authentic trim scheme, performance linear throw, long throw servos, proportional 4-channel control, 16-inch wingspan, 15.8 in length, 3.03 ounces in the weight. Two cell 200. Yep.
That's a very neat little plane.
It is a pretty looking airplane.
Yeah.
So, staying on the P3, they also just announced, actually Thursday, they're doing a Hangar 9's coming out with a 60cc version. That thing is monstrous. P3 Revolution 60cc model produced exact same thing as the Ultra Micro, basically in a very large version. fiberglass cowl, wheel pants colored to match of iron trim scheme, landing gears fabricated from high strength aluminum. Two piece plug in horizontal stabilizer with carbon fiber joiner, two piece plug in wings with carbon fiber joiner. Laser cut, all wood construction, lightweight, pre-hinged ailerons and elevators, genuine ultra coat, pre-drilled firewall, tray to mount your 60cc size gas engine, color matching fiberglass cowl and wheel pants, high strength aluminum gear, complete quality hardware pack, plus fuel tank included, ball link connectors, dual rate, painted pilot figure. Man, that thing is massive. 78-inch wingspan. Thing's going to weigh 19 pounds.
Oh, that'll wake up the neighbors, Wayne.
Yeah. The thing, too, I was watching their product review. They actually just come out with a brand new engine just for this airplane. So, wow, that's big. And it's $649 just for the kit. So by the time you get all your servos and engine, whew. That's up there. Let's see. They have an extra 330 SC60E coming out for $349. That's a balsa plane. It's also Hangar 9, aerobatic marvel. It's ideal for experienced aerobatic pilots.
None of us.
Yeah, not something like that.
It's a sharp-looking plane.
Yeah,
though.
It is really. I love the looks of those planes, especially the balsa stuff, but, man, I just would not want to fly them. Large 3D control surfaces, carbon fiber landing gear and wing tube. Designed by XFC champion Seth Arnold. Excellent 3D performance. It's engineered around the E-Flight Power 60 on a 6-cell LiPo. let's see. Wingspan, 65.5 inches. Flying weight is between 775 and 8.6 pounds. Like I said, power size 60 electric. It's a 23% scale.
It's got a real wide nose.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, it's a typical looking. I love the look of an extra. You get 5 minutes of some serious 3D
out with of a 6S
with
battery.
A 6L 4400.
It must be screaming hot Ooh. When it's done.
Wow, oh,
man. This is yeah. definitely in my skill level.
Mm. Yeah.
Give her money. Go for it.
Wait till we turn on the camera.
Sorry. You'll have plenty yeah, this looks toothpicks. Pretty advanced to me.
You'll have plenty of toothpicks after.
And I crack up because they say ARF, almost ready to fly. It's not. Why do they do that? Because almost ready to fly, in my mind, is assembly and then and electronics. Fly. But, I mean, yeah. you got a
yeah.
motor, servos, and everything. So, it's not quite so almost ready.
Yeah.
It should be kinda... ARB, almost ready to build.
Yeah, right. All right. Now we're going to jump into a few little different. We're going down a list here, so... The other things coming out, we talked about this again. This is something back in April. I did see it in person, and I don't know. I think it's a little pricey, but Hubsan is bringing out their own FPV quadcopter. They have one that's ready to fly. It's got a touchscreen controller, 1080p with a three-axis gimbal. It's $1,499, they're behind the curve when you can get a Phantom that probably blow this thing right out of the water, you know.
The remote's pretty slick, but...
The remote is slick. According to this, it's supposed to run for 32 minutes on a battery, depending on payload, which that is a long time on one battery. It's got a 7-inch touchscreen Android operating system. You know, return to home, programmable waypoints. As separate batteries, flight batteries are 3-cell, 7,000. Woo!
Holy.
25 minutes with accessories, 32. So actually it's getting the same amount of time as a Phantom, basically, with after you put everything on it. Camera battery is a 1-cell 650. Wonder how that works, you know, if your camera battery goes dead. That ain't good.
Mm.
I don't know a lot about it, but...
5-volt battery, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what they... Yeah, I mean, a GoPro pack is basically a 1S. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, here it is. Battery life and recording, 1 hour.
On the camera,
Yep. It is nice. It has waypoint and focal point navigation. Available on the X4 Pro Deluxe only. Uses Google Maps for pinpoint navigation.
Yeah, so you want your data linked.
Right.
Cell phone or Android.
Yep. I don't know. I think it's a little pricey.
Mm. Oh, I think it's late.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, back in April, it probably would have been okay, but it's not due out till it says 10/10 here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also get it with just a 1-axis gimbal for $799. But you know what? I don't know why really you would want to fly with a 1-axis gimbal.
So you can pan up and down.
that's
about it.
I don't know.
You're forward looking or downward.
Yeah,
that's it.
With the one, I mean, that thing's going to be pretty shaky.
Yeah, that's true. You'll be seeing.
Oh, yeah. Pointing down and get shaky.
Yeah, there's nothing else to, you know. Ooh.
No stabilization, yeah.
No. Hobby Zone's coming out with a little tiny, it's called a Zugo camera quad, 2-megapixel HD camera quad for $79. Let's look at this real quick, see what it says. Ooh, that thing is dinky. Flip, fly, and record every moment. This is something kids would like. They get it in the house. They love that auto flip stuff for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Directional commands. Even the newest pilots have a great first flight by maintaining consistent directional control regardless of which way the Zugo is pointing. The Zugo also makes entering into the exciting world of aerial photography with an integrated camera to capture 2-megapixel photos and, 720p HD video. Yeah, interesting.
It's got prop guard frame too.
Yeah,
bumping
that'd
into
be
things.
Perfect
yeah.
for kids.
That'd be good for kids. Yep,
kids would love that. Because my 9-year old is he nine? No, wait. How? I don't even. Anyway, my
on the same one.
Now I'm confused. 11? Maybe he's 11. I guess he's 11. I don't know. Anyway, my oldest son, he's getting a little more intrigued now that, you know, he's like, he likes the video stuff and the YouTube that gets something that recorded a little bit of video, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, pretty soon he'll be flying your Phantom
for you. Did you notice how fast that nope came out?
He's already asked.
Nope. Not really.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Chris, does the Phantom support second? Does the Phantom support camera operator on a second remote?
I don't think it does. No,
that's almost too bad because that's probably
that would be fun for him. Yeah,
yeah.
Him take over on the camera and you fly the rig.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it. I think the Inspire is the only one. Unless now, it's not to say down the road they may do a firmware update. Oh, yeah. You may be able to do that.
Does the Phantom 3 have waypoints?
It does now. They just last Sunday they did an update.
Oh, that's what you guys were. Yeah, yeah, you said there was an update.
I got waypoints. Point of
interest. Have you messed with it at all, or you're saying it is coming?
No, it's out. I just loaded it. I haven't even had a chance to try it out with. Because the weird thing is in that flight mode, you actually I loaded everything. I had it sitting on the table and was going to go through it. You can't. The thing physically has to be in the air before you can do the different flight modes. So I haven't tried it out yet. But yeah, I got waypoints, point of interest. There's
I'm interested to hear how the waypoints goes when you figure it out.
I watched the videos on it. It's got like a heading lock. You can set it on a heading lock and it'll stay there, but you can swivel. Like if we were tracking, say we were trying to track the radian and you were flying straight and I'm flying beside you, it'll stay on that track and that heading, but then I can pan the whole camera, everything all around, but it stays on that pathway.
That's nice.
There's a point of interest, you know, where it orbits around, and then there was something else, something about home.
This
lock.
Was all with that update?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of cool features.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you really can't beat that thing. The stuff on that app is, it's mind-blowing. Okay, off track.
A great price point.
Yeah, and you want to get into it, and you go like with now the standard for $700 or I can't remember what $699 maybe it is. You can't beat it. You really can't. One last thing here on the new products coming. We'll touch real quick. Top Flight's got a new P-47 Thunderbolt Razor. Remember we were just talking about the Razor back is coming out for $749, and it's an ARF. I love the big warbirds too. They look great. So that should be coming out soon. There's really no details on it. Just
big plane.
Real quick, if you guys want, I'm going to go back to the list. There's a few things that are out already.
Can you touch on this?
Oh, geez, I forgot, Mike. Yep.
I'm not familiar with it.
I glanced
I didn't know
right
if anybody
over that.
Knew.
I'm glad you said that. Hang on. Yeah, the multiplex glider, the new one.
Yes, you saw that at the fair.
Yeah, we've seen
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, we got to see it fly at Flight Fest.
Really?
Yeah, the multiplex guys were flying at Wayne. You probably don't remember, do you?
How does that compare to their Radian?
Well, here's the thing that we noticed.
I see, but there must be some more features.
It's way more expensive, but the thing we noticed is it's more of a just... Yeah, it will glide in thermal, but it's a lot heavier, and it's built more for...
Toward the warm liner.
Yes.
It's just a little bit more of a warm liner.
Yeah, it's a sturdy... It's got bracing all over it. It's got a real thin oil airfoil. Wayne hit the nail on the head there. It's more
warm.
Yeah. Beautiful looking airplane. It's 94 inches. It's good size. 45 ounces on glider and 52 on if you want to run it in electric. Let's see. It's a high-performance glider with its officially designed T-tail. 4-flap wing streamlined fuselage bring precision to a broad spectrum of flying, whether you enjoy lofty thermal soaring, high-speed aerial adventure, which that's where we were talking about. You know, if you're not going to take the Radiant out and do high-speed aerial adventure or sprinted aerobatics.
No, not on purpose.
No. We know what happens when people try that. It usually ends in disaster.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's geared that more towards that. Delivers a flying experience you crave. 4-flap wing design is equipped with innovative CFRP aluminum tubular spar technology for extreme rigidity and stabilization, setting an entire new standard for the 2.4-meter wingspan class. Heron is available in a receiver-ready and kit version. Receiver-ready includes ultra-efficient brushless motor servo extensions, applied decals, while the kit requires the power pack. Design with resilient Ellipore, which I think has the best foam out there anywhere, hands down.
Yeah.
With a folding propeller, detachable wings, tail for easy assembly, stylish design cockpit, clear canopy. The Heron raises the bar in glider gender. Nice looking glider, though. We've seen it in person.
And but it does, you can get, go ahead.
We've seen it fly, you know, at Flight Fest. It is impressive, but... Ooh, that was loud.
Kind of pricey, though. Huh?
It is pricey, but that's kind of multiplex. I think it's just because it's coming from Germany. Yeah. All right.
What was the kind of foam you said?
Ellipore is the foam they
use.
Oh,
I see it there.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Whatever their formula is, it's
the multiplex? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is phenomenal. Real quick, I'm just going to look in the products that are new but are already out. Some of them we haven't really touched on or had a chance to talk about. We'll just mention them. Blade has a 230 size ready-to-fly and bind-and-fly helicopter out. 249 bind-and-fly, ready-to-fly 299. The Glimpse FPV, that's been out for a while. Actually had one here at Flight Test and was tinkering around with it. And it's a little tiny miniature kind of FPV. Through your phone type deal. The Chromas have been out, and if anybody's interested in the Chromas, I know Horizons just dropped their prices on them. The other cool little thing they did quite a few videos on is the, I don't even know how you say it, the Inductrix. And it's just a little micro quadcopter, but the cool thing, and we've talked about why they haven't done this before, it's got four little almost like micro electric ducted fan motors on it. And they've been flying the daylights running. The cool thing, again, that's something for kids. They can crash into things that you don't have to worry about it. And I could kind of see something like this down the road too, if they can get it efficient enough like this, FPV, you know, with some brushless motors. That would be pretty sweet. We mentioned the Vista UAV quadcopter, the non-FPV version. It's out. For $79. The E-Flight Ultimate 2 Bind and Fly Basic, another biplane. And this is all foam. This one was kind of interesting when I was reading it when it first came out. It's an E-Flight Ultimate Biplanes, ideal choice for pilots looking for the ultimate aerobatic experience. Brilliant Mike McConville design. It's a synergy of highly tuned airframe, modern aerodynamics, all complemented by a stunning trim scheme by Micro Bickery of Aircraft Studio Designs. I probably butchered that pretty bad. A high power to weight ratio plus high quality components, massive elevator and rudder surfaces can make spin and snap gyrations as wild looking as they are predictable. They included a AR636 receiver, takes great flying airframe to a whole new level with the AS3X technology. It's been specially tuned for this model to pull off any maneuver, like a rolling Harrier panic recovery mode adds, I didn't know that one had the panic recovery mode on it, adds virtual safety, runs on a 3-cell 2200, that's good. Push pin connections for the struts, one thumb screw in each wing, putting the ultimate together is a snap. Brushless power, 40 amp ESC, 1250 kV motor, Z foam, of course, and it's 37-inch wingspan, 2.8 pounds, brushless power tent. It's a cool looking airplane.
Yeah, so all the same features as your the Sukhoi, basically.
Yep.
And just a bi-wing.
Yep. Yeah. The other one, this is kind of cool. They're taking a lot of their planes that were just balsa only, and they're converting them over to foam. I think this is one is the Pulse 15 by E-Flight. This is something usually you'd see in balsa. Another Mike McConville design. Mike McConville designed the original Pulse model as a glow-powered sport airplane. What emerged is a low-wing aircraft with the versatility to satisfy the person looking for exceptional RC experience. The winning formula launched a great flying of all-wood models that are still popular this day. Until now, the popular Pulse design was only available in balsa construction. With the E-Flight Pulse 15, you can enjoy this great flying platform with all the benefits of durable Z foam material. That is pretty cool. 15E Sport Plane also gives you the flexibility to choose from multiple undercarriage setups, including tricycle or the tail dragger configurations. Hardware for both is included. You can also convert it to floats using the Apprentice S15 float set.
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah.
That was- AS3X. That's pretty cool. Learning gear option, flow plunge, and Power 15 brushless motor, 3-cell, 2200. And it'll run a 25 to a 4,000 3-cell.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
We had commented on that. It has a pretty big, the photos don't do the size justice, I don't think.
Yeah.
Neat plane.
That is pretty cool. It is almost kind of looks like a racer, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Nice trim scheme. So that comes in Bind and Fly Basic, $239, Plug and Play, $209. They finally have the P-47 Thunderbolt came out, which I really like.
I was so on the fence to picking one up, but I've gone with the P-40.
Yeah. The Ultramicro F-16, that's pretty cool looking. That's out now. Let's see. The United States Air Force Thunderbolts demonstration team has inspired aviation fans since its very start of the jet age, going into a 33-year run. Incredible Lockheed Martin F-16 Fighting Falcon multi-role jet platform has been an The E-Flight Ultramicro F-16 EDF jet is inspired by the engineering world-renowned service record of the original by offering the excitement of great flying RC jet to you can enjoy just about anywhere. All you need to do to fly the Ultramicro F-16 is a 6-channel receiver with Spectrum DSM-2 or DMX-S. Has a 280 2-cell LiPo, AS3X technology, ailerons, the Delta V EDF. Lightweight landing gear setup features nose wheel steering to allow you to guide your F-16 on smooth runways. The wire struts simply plug in so they can be easily removed for faster flight performance. Really cool. Another really cool looking. Let's see if there's anything I missed. The wingspan is... Oh, look at this. The wingspan is only 11.6 inches.
So it's a dart.
Wow. Yeah, basically it. A dart. And it's only 2.8 ounces.
I don't know if my eyesight can handle that one like would that be. Anymore.
That thing gets out. I mean, you imagine that thing being as slick as it is coming at you, trying to see that thing at about 10 feet off the ground. Yeah. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Smack right in your head. Man. That's where it's at. The Ultramicro Stearman P-17. Actually, I got to fly one of those at Flight Fest. Kevin Harris had one. Let me fly it. It was a fantastic flyer.
Which one?
This one right here. Ultramicro. Oh, here's something funny on the webpage. I goofed up. Ultramicro PT-17. Oh, no, I take that back. The FPV system. I was going to say $399. Where are they getting that? You can get it with the FPV system.
I don't know. Speaking of that, all of a sudden they went FPV nuts and stuck FPV systems on every single one of their UMXs. I'm like, okay.
I think personally they're trying to get rid of those cameras. So they're like, what can we do to get rid of these cameras? We'll put one on this airplane. We'll put one. And honestly, I'm kind of ruined because I'm like you, Andre, too. I got the Vapor FPV, yes. And of course I got the Nano QX. And don't get me wrong, they're fun. But flying around the Phantom with the goggles, and then you go back to flying the Vapor, you're like, this is no fun.
It's like Atari graphics versus the video.
It's like going back
now to
a 1950s television set.
Well, and the next one on the list was that the UMX Radiant with FPV, and I kept thinking, how much trouble could you get yourself into with an FPV based Micro Radiant?
Terrible. You know? I think that is a terrible idea. That thing gets in a thermal and instantly, if you don't have any,
sky ground.
Yeah, if you don't have any extended an antenna, stock, they don't go very far at all. So, I don't think that's a really good idea.
I tried to fly the Vapor at the flying field the other day, and there was so much. Well, the wind wasn't bad, but I couldn't get anywhere. In the yard where it's shielded from the wind, it's fine, but out in the open field, it was pointless.
Yeah.
So I'll have to move. I'm going to remove the camera and stick it on something else. But I could see lots of UMX Radiants being flown away with the
Especially a newbie. He spends the money and forks out. you know, the full kit with the goggles and everything. Because just the FPV Radian without the headset's almost, it's $189. So you fork out that cash, and the first thermal you'll get, and you lose your image, and you go, where is it? You're going to be bumming.
You better buy a tile then, too, huh?
Yeah, well, the
probably... Then why won't weight it down so bad?
I was just going to say, put the tile on it, it won't fly.
And that camera on top of that must just kill its performance,
too. I would think so. Yeah, I wasn't... When they come out of that, I was kind of like, what are they doing here? I mean, I know they probably got to get rid of these cameras, but... All right, a couple more on this list, and maybe we'll flip over. The Proto Z Micro Quadcopter, they got, it looks like a newer version come out, and it's cheaper. It's only $29.99. The Inum Indoor Flyer by FlyZone, that's been out for quite a while. That's $40. And they also have the new Sensei EP Trainer with Wise. That's kind of their version of the Safe from Horizon. That's been out for a while. I think Flight Test actually has it here. You can get the receiver ready for $199 or ready to fly for $299. And there is a page two, but I'll glance at that real quick. FMS, they just bringing out some different Skeen 1400 P51s.
What's on this page that caught my eye? And it's not a plane that I would normally look at, but I think that Rockstar really looks cool. That looks like it'd be a fun plane to fly.
Was that the...
That's the biplane.
Yeah, was that one that they crashed at Flight Fest and poor multiplex guys?
What didn't they crash?
Yeah. The P-51 Hangar 9 with the 8cc gas engine is out for $3.99. That's not a bad price for a gas engine. That one would be... I'd like to try that with an 8cc gas because it's not real big. The Sportman S, that's been out for a while. Here's another thing. I love Horizon. Sometimes they're fantastic, and other times I think, what are they doing? The Stratocam ready to fly. Again, this has been a plane that's been around for probably 2 years. It was horrible flying. I don't think they sold any. They brought it out, put a different paint scheme, changed the name, put a little tiny camera on it. Now it's the Stratocam F, are ready to fly for $200. No.
Missed the boat, yeah.
Yeah. And then, the Rockstar... multiplex biplane is out. You can get receiver or kit version. Let's look at the specs on it. That is a nice looking airplane. Mm-hmm. Let's see. This type of bipe is renowned for its wild maneuvers, such as positive and negative snap rolls, spins, tumbles, 3D maneuvers, torque rolls, harriers, power rolling combinations are well within the Rockstar's repertoire. Model spans 1050 millimeters, built up using a combination of Elipore foam, carbon fiber, aluminum, M-frame technology, producing a strong, rigid airframe that can only shrug off anything the experienced RC pilot cares to throw at it. Detailed design of the Rockstar includes many extravagant features, which set entirely new standards for this class of model. M-frame technology guarantees extremely strong fuselage. Lightweight carbon fiber tubes provide ultra-stiff wings. The model is very simple and swift. To rig thanks to its detachable wing tail panels for the quick release retainers. Let's see. Yeah, 1050 millimeter, 1800 grams weight. Flies on a 4-cell, 2600. So, yeah, that baby's going to have some power. Nice looking airplane. I think they did crash that one at Flight Fest, but I could be wrong. All right, that's. It for the products on Hobby Zone here. I glanced at Hobby King on their new products page. I really didn't see, besides that Tornado that came out, it really hasn't been a whole lot. Obviously, the P-40's out now.
Yes.
Anything else besides, I wanted you to talk a little bit about that Mobius dock. I glanced at
I
don't know a lot about it. If you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. That's so basically that is a there it is it is basically, it's an FPV Mobius dock, so it's got its 5.8, I think. Hold on here, I'm just pulling up specs. It's full 32 channels, 200 milliwatt output, does not, you know, 1.5 kilometers, they're saying. So you switch the antenna, obviously, because no one runs the stock dipole.
Yeah.
But it powers, it's got a, you can plug it into your entire system or run it off a 2S with a JS connector.
Uh-huh.
And that'll power the camera as well. So it's, you know, it looks like a neat one. Our buddy Dave, who had the issues with his Radian at Playfest, he's got one, so he's going to tell me how it's going to go.
Oh, good.
I'm supposed to be reviewing a Mobius C2, so I might just order one of these for myself because it looks like one of these neat things where you can just stick in everything. Now, you do get a little lag with the Mobius camera when you're flying an FPV boat, but from what I understand is if you're just flying regular, if you're not doing any kind of racing or anything like that, it is the lag is minimal and will not really affect your point of view. So it looks like a nice way to do it, and it's, you know, 38 US, uh-huh. So it's not too bad. Under, and it's only like shipped to 66 grams, so it's a minimal cost for shipping.
Yeah.
So it looks like a pretty decent way. The other option is just, you know, to get the AV cable, which is only a few dollars for if you're going to fly it with FPV. Most of the time now I'm using board cams to fly FPV, but this would be kind of neat, you know, if you have just your basic glider or something to modify the front end of, let's say, the Radian and stick it on so you're getting your HD video recorded and you're also getting an FPV output. Yeah. So it might work.
And just don't forget to do the change the programming, right, Mike? So if you run out on your memory card, you don't go to blue screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Tornado, we've talked about that one before. That's just your basic entry level success, I think it was.
Yeah, Tornado 75 takes plug and fly EDF to a whole new level, creating a robust airframe that suits all levels of pilots. The Tornado 75 literally flies like it's on rails. Whether you point it, it will go. Couple this with a wide flight envelope, this model will suit first-time EDF pilots, yet at the same time keep a smile on the face of the most experienced turbine pilot. The design is simple, fast, easy to assemble, no glue. The molded EPO airframe ingeniously clips with screws together. Oh, clips and screws together. And with the plug-in wings, you'll have it up in the air in a matter of minutes. Our Tornado 75 features a large clip in the canopy, offering easy access to your radio gear and battery. Yeah. Although the Tornado is supplied with fixed landing gear, optimal performance is obtained by hand launching, as a model can be gracefully belly landed on any grass runway. 60 amp ESC, 3060, 2000 kV motor and fan unit make light work of the throttling this performance model through the air. Inverted, knife edge, split S, snap rolls. Tornado 75 works easily through these precision aerobatic maneuvers. And unlike all, most EDFs have flight time of 5 minutes or less. The Tornado's unique aerodynamic allows a flight times of 10 minutes plus. This does not necessarily mean you will need less batteries because the Tornado is so addictive you'll want to fly it all day long.
You know, if this thing was 4S, I'd be like, yeah, but 6S? Ooh.
I was just looking at that this thing's not that big. It's only 1,100 millimeters, 1,450 grams weight, 60 amp ESC, and they're flying it on a 6L? Wow. Yeah,
that motor must need it to go.
Wow.
What else they have? Well, the Yak, I really had considered the Yak when it came out, but they never got around to releasing the military paint scheme one right away, so I said no. And so I passed on that one, and then, of course, I pulled the trigger on the P-40.
Right, right. Hey, I know you've been on the forums reading about it and everything, so what's kind of the word of the P-40? Have people been liking it, or...?
Yes, people have been liking it, but there have been some issues, and it just there appears to be a board, a PCB board, that all the flight gear, the ailerons and flaps, and hook into it, and I guess those have been causing some issues. But most of the people are coming back and saying it's a fantastic plane. I've been reading a lot about the 4S batteries and you know where they locate and. And I've actually been talking to Stuart about that. So he said right away, and the really The clincher for me was that, like, as we discussed earlier, was this plane will run on a 3S 2200. So I've got those really nice high-end ones, the A-spec ones that I bought for the EFX Racer. And we'll also do a 4S 2200.
Right.
And Stuart's saying 35C 4S Zippy Compacts will do it. And I've also read that other people are running the 4S 2650s. With no issue. So it's like every model, you have to do a little CG work to get it onto the sweet spot. But once you do, it's fantastic. So I'm like, okay, if that's the case, in theory, I can run, you know, three different versions of batteries I have, and I'll just, you know, I'll figure out where they mark it up or add some weight accordingly. So I could go to the flying field and theoretically fly this plane all day with a whack load of batteries. So it'll be interesting to see how it looks. And I was really on the fence because with the way the Canadian dollar was going, the P40 versus the P47, they were almost neck and neck as far as value for dollar. And it's one of those things where you start reading on the internet and all the information is the same. You know, okay, this guy's having landing gear problem. This guy's having landing gear problem. You know, so it's depending on what the airplane was. So it's all the same results. So I'm like, okay. So I just said in the end, Laura actually flipped the coin. She says, I like the P40. So I said, okay, let's do that.
Uh-huh.
But I was really looking between the two aircraft. And for me in the end, the P40 has just been that plane I wanted. My hope is that it is as good as they say that it is flying wise. And it'll bring my confidence up because my experience with the FW-190 is I have not been able to land that plane at all.
Huh.
And it's just every time I landed, I'm doing gear damage. And the last time was I was too far away from myself and I rushed the approach and I popped it down. And that's why I cracked the wing with the landing gear coming up through it. So I've done the repair, but I haven't had a chance to fly it since. So I'm really hoping that this plane just kind of relaxes me and just lets me enjoy the whole landing process again. But we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's shipped and I threw in some spares with it and I threw in a receiver and everything. But like I said, it's crazy that the Canadian dollar has declined to the point that, you know, a Duraflight airplane, after you kit it up, is the same price as buying something like the E-Flight P-47 with an AS3X receiver in
it.
Wow. So I'm like, oh, man. So it's if this continues, I'm going to have to slow down because I'm not going to afford this kind of, you know, like last year, a Duraflight plane was at least $150, almost $200 with the Canadian dollar being well. It was, you know, under the price of buying a, you know, an E-Flight. So now we're on par. So now that said, talking to Stuart, he said in an email after I asked him a few questions, he said, you know, wait till you see what else is coming. You know, so they've been using this airplane was their R&D plane. And as far as getting it all right and taking their time and they full on, you know, the bag, they've identified a few issues with like the flap servos and stuff. And like I said, there are a few hiccups and everything. So I'm going to go through this plane top to bottom as far as all the equipment before I even assemble it, just to check it. But he says there are other things in the works for, you know, so they're going to keep our appetite whetted, I think, in this with 1100 millimeter. So,
yeah, I hope they do. And like I said, I think that they're going somewhere with this, size airplane being able to run on 3 or 4 cell to give people that option. I think that's where it needs to go. So we'll see what happens. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say my buddy David, he received the Duraflight Corsair. It was a gift and he flew that the other day and said it was fantastic. So I'm like, oh,
Mike,
cool.
Mike has that plane. That isn't a bad flying airplane, is it, Mike?
No, I like that a lot.
Yeah, it looks good. The Corsair, I think, has one of the best-looking airplanes in the air.
Yeah.
One day.
Did you flew that, too, didn't you?
Yeah, we flew it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things where I'm going
to... The missiles came off for me a couple times and broke. I had to do some repairs on the missiles for it, but...
You can land on those too, right? If you don't want to do the landing gear. So it's, I think next year, if the dollar stays the way it is, I'm going to be even more picky and, you know, that's fine. So I know I've got to do all my 3D planes and stuff and do a couple of reviews. So I'm going to be busy no matter what. But I'm still looking forward to these. Like I said, we've talked about now the two airplanes that'll be in my fleet for the rest of the fall. And I'm looking forward to them. And my suspicion, to be honest, Chris, is this will probably be my last airplane with retracts, to just to be, you know, to be honest, because if I end up having issues with retracts, I'm like, okay, I'm done, because it's just, it's so much work.
Yeah.
It really takes away. I know it's a fantastic thing and they look beautiful.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you.
I do too.
Work.
It's so funny. You are straight down the path of what I went to. I gotta have flaps. I gotta have retracts. And after fixing and repairing,
I did the same thing with my Durafly Spitfire. I had to replace those retracts, and then I got chattering. And the fact that they're buried, you know, to keep recessed, just it's that much more work.
Yeah, you got to take the wing off and everything. So I guess what I can only hope is that E-Flight, you know, is listening to us, because we're influencing so much with the Radian and the T-28, is that maybe they consider bringing back that gunfighter P-51, which is just a pure belly lander.
I wish they would bring back a couple more belly landers. You know, make them, you know, lighter weight. That P-51 being the size it is, and I beefed up the motor a little bit on a 3-cell 2200, Mike, you can attest, that thing screams.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fun, easy to fly, and I'd love to see him bring back just a couple good belly landers. I think people enjoy them.
Well, that F4F Wildcat I have was a great belly lander. Yeah, that one I just – do you have one of those, Andre? I saw it on Instagram. It looked like a P – I thought it was your account. Maybe it wasn't.
No, I don't have one, and it's funny because the first time I looked at it, I thought, that is the ugliest-looking thing I've seen in my life. And then
– in the air, though.
Someone had it at the park flying, and I'm like, that's fantastic.
Yes.
It's exactly as we've discussed, you know, as you evolve, all of a sudden, you know, as a flyer and you find what you like, and I'm sitting here, things like, you know, I love my EFX Racer because it's exactly that. You tuck it and you go, but the flights are over in 3.5 minutes, right?
Right.
So, okay. You know, you spend that half a minute just trying to cycle the plane in so you can land before you know, so you don't puff your cells. I still like, and I said to that Chris the other day, it's like, you know, if they came out with if E-Flight or whoever released an aircraft exactly like we just discussed, I would be all over that. So
I think I would be too.
You know, I mucked up the FT Racer last week and having just a riot with it, but it's done now. I have to retire. Poor airplane, but it was a beautiful crash. It was inspiring. Got caught in the wind, and I was riding a thing at full open throttle because it's so heavy and so inefficient.
It's truly now, retired, right? Is that what I grabbed?
Yes, this is what I'm saying, Mike. It is. It was a beautiful crash. And I was like,
thank heavens!
Listen, Mike. Thank heavens, it's done. I don't have to look at it anymore.
I'm gonna pull up all the parts, and it's gonna get hung on the ceiling here as a space of honor, because it is. You know. Oh, come on! That plane's had a good ride. Now, my dad put together his flight test
Mustang. I saw.
Mustang, yes.
And I'm working on mine right now, and I really like that look on that one.
For us, it's been a really interesting experience because we use the Elmer's foam, and the difference between that and the Adams is like the paper just on the Adams, the paper just peels off like there's nothing there. The Elmer's, you don't remove the paper because it's glued on beautifully. So my dad was saying he was working a little harder to get the edges from peeling back, but he said the plane flew, and every time we do a flight test build, the CG is always different.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Our planes are heavier.
Uh-huh.
And that's like you guys have held up the FD. Mind you, that thing is coated in like a couple layers of glue.
At least.
But
more like a bag of glue.
Called the glue racer.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to flying it. He flew the airplane. He said it slowed down really nice compared to like the FT Spitfire.
Uh-huh.
And obviously it's a lighter plane due to the foam and everything. So I'm going to fly it so I can get an idea of what I'm going to build, because I need exactly that. I need that landing plane that tosses. The only thing I can see bad about the Mustang is he's got that scoop, and the wind will probably scoop up a lot of snow.
Yeah.
On the bottom part, I did notice that. Yeah. So, I just actually min-waxed mine. I have to start building it, so I'm trying to protect it. But you sent me that link on Irony.
Yeah.
That looks like it might require more talent than I'm capable.
I don't think it's that bad.
Or you can fold the edges over and then iron them down.
Yes, that's a great technique.
Yeah.
so it doesn't flake off or peel off like you're saying.
Yeah.
But
He used a little glue and everything. And so it'll be interesting to see how he paints it up. He said he's just for sure. But it's kind of fun to see my dad excited about this thing.
Sure. How did your head tracking unit work for you? Have you used that at all?
I haven't flown with it, but I was doing tests.
It looked pretty cool. Your testing that I saw.
Well, it was interesting because the Fat Shark head pan and tilt had a bias. It was off to one side more. So I went in there and I recentered the main bolt that holds the whole thing together. And I got it in the center now. And I could sit there and pan and I could see wingtip on the Bixler.
Oh, wow.
So that is cool. And so I went in, I plugged the Quantum into the computer, and I did the whole zeroing of the compass and everything. It's a real easy app. You just plug it in there. And
I'm eager to see how that flight goes for you, so you have to let me know.
I can't wait to get that plane all set up. And I've gone in and I've re-rigged the plane so it's all clean. But I'm really impressed compared to the other. What I really like is I've got the kill switch on my remote to just lock the servos down into place. But also on the unit, you can tap it to recenter if something goes wrong, or if you hold it, it will center and lock the head tracker in place.
Sweet.
So so your gimbal or your pan and tilt go back to its
home position.
And stay there. Yeah. So you can have, you know, so it's like, oh, something's going on here. I need to lock down because I'm getting too much flutter or something. And you can do that in a heartbeat. And it took 2 seconds to go in. So I'm pleased with it.
Very good.
And like I said, it took me a little while to get used to my goggles again, but I'm back into it. So I'm this fall, once, especially now that the sports season's over, the fields are a lot quieter. So we'll be able to pop up and just, I'll finally get some good FPV flying.
Yeah, I saw you said they're adding soccer fields or something.
Oh, man, these people, it's this park. It's a legitimate concern for us because
more people, too, probably.
Oh yeah, where's a park? Are we gonna be able to fly in spots? And it's just so. It will be interesting next year to see what happens, but I'll worry about that one problem at a time. You know? I've got some reviews to do on my end.
What you got?
Oh man, I got that so the Fat Hawk, which is the from Jason Erbing.
Uh-huh.
Erberfly.ca. So that's my 3D plane. That's coming along. Last night I got those 3D printed motor mounts from my buddy Martin. Jason had developed them and Martin just printed them all for me. Oh. I so need to get myself a little 3D printer.
Yeah, I've been eyeing up that Hobby King one.
Yeah, well, Jason bought the little micro one when Hobby King had the free shipping event. And he says it's not bad for exactly that, doing those little parts.
But, yeah.
Martin can run between PVC and the other material, PLA or whatever it's called. And so he built me up this little tiny quad he found on Thingy Universe and then the motor mount. So I've got two of them here so I can offset the motor. So that 3D plane is almost ready to go. Probably this afternoon. It's raining now, so I won't be able to get outside, but I will go and I'll dial in the throws because, man, that thing moves around a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Then our good friends at Multi RC, Mark from Multi RC, sent me a HMB 235.
Nice. Wow.
I'm gonna cut all my gear over from my 250 quad, so I've got those new 1806 motors, and those are fantastic.
Good.
The difference in the motors between the 1704s and the 1806 was just, it changed the beast. And like I said, I sheared all those props. So I'm waiting on some bullnose props because those thinner DALs are just, I don't like how they fly the quad. In fact, it started drifting backwards on me. So I'm like, okay, the pitch is wrong on these things.
Huh.
And then I've got a Wakira Runner 250 to test for flight test.
Uh-huh.
So that'll keep me going, and a bunch of other camera stuff. So it's going to be a busy season for me.
Good, good.
But I'm having my fun, and then I want to get out and do some flying. And then, like I said, I'm going to review. I'll do full reviews of the P40 and the Night Flyer, the Brave Night Flyer.
Yep. Once
I'll show up. So.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're just plugging along, having a good time doing this. But it's one of those things where all of a sudden I'm looking at my project list. I'm like, okay, let's just tackle one at a time.
Yeah, I hear you.
I was having those RC plane squirrel moments the other month there, and I also got to get the Sky Mule back together.
I thought you had it all together.
I just got to finish all the, go over all the control surfaces and everything. It feels good and solid. It looks like a whole plane again, so And we'll
yeah, that was a respectable repair on that. So that I'll give you that.
That wasn't bad. He's got a few scars.
Sure.
You know, I should. What Martin was saying, he says, you know what you do? You get your black marker and then you make it look like you've done stitches on the side of it. You know, for repair skin, just to give it some detail. And I thought that was funny.
That is funny.
You know, but it came back together at least. But and just having fun. But it feels good to, you know, get back into FPV and just do it in the yard. And I had James on the goggles. And it was, there's one post there, you know, he's watching it and on Instagram, and I clipped the bird feeder, and he's, I come around the
corner.
Did
he jump?
Like, oh, he's like, post, and you hear this twang. And I sheared like 3 out of 4 props on the quad, and they were brand new props.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
God.
Ah!
Crap, yeah.
But just to get there and slide around the tree again, ah, it's just, okay, I remember how to do this, you know. Shake the rust off. So
yeah, that's funny. When we went to the birthday party later on that evening, I decided to give the kids some rides with the Phantom and the head play goggles, and so, you know, we went up and just tooled around, and they kept, you know, passing the goggles around. Them kids had just got, that was their biggest thrill, just, you know, yeah, looking through there. The crazy thing, I think it's so funny, is when they put the goggles on, you see them try to look around. They're looking up and down and left and right. You know, like
they're expecting to be intuitive and have pan and tilt.
Well, yeah, they actually think they're sitting like on the quadcopter and they're look around. You know, it was pretty funny, but they enjoyed that.
My son has a birthday coming up, the 26th. You want to deliver him a
sure?
I can do that and actually hit the record feature.
Yeah. Remind me, I'll come over. We'll try it again.
He's turning 12.
Oh yeah, try it again.
And actually, I'm going to mention, because I know Christian's over with David right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he recently released, I think, a mini-sized tricopter that looks pretty sweet. It looks like it has a cage and stuff to protect things the way it's designed, but it did look pretty neat. I'm going to have to look into that a little more.
I think. And my question is, I read a post, might have been on Facebook or something. He was on the fence of putting it out there. He had there was one little goofy problem of some type of flying characteristic that he didn't like. Mm. Not that we would probably never even notice.
Yeah, he's so nitpicky,
meticulous.
In the
detail. Yeah. And he actually had to put a post out there saying, "Hey, this is what it's doing. This is what I don't like. But would you guys still buy it?
Yeah,
you know, or do you,
it.
Yeah, right. Which that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So it must be had enough response to say, "Yeah, put that sucker out there. You know, it's not
nice.
Going to be that big."
Yeah.
Either that, or maybe they finally got it figured out. I don't know for sure. So yeah, that little micro that does like 100 miles an hour.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
That thing is sweet looking though. That thing is great.
Oh, it is so cool. You imagine that thing buzzing by you doing FPV?
It'd be good for
races.
I think you could.
Yep.
Well, I think, yeah, the difference between the tri and, say, a quad is, I think you'd be able to hit those gates a lot better.
I would, too.
Fly through it a little bit more.
Yeah.
There was something about it. I actually talked to him when Chad was over there in Europe. David went to that that FPV race with him. And there was a problem with it that the thing was actually too fast. Like, when they took off, he got going so fast, like when they were coming up to the gate. Yeah, he couldn't get the thing to slow down fast enough, you know, to get in and turn and get through the gate. I know that was a problem.
So he needs a zoom feature on his camera.
Yeah.
So he can counter the moves quicker.
Yeah.
On season.
So, but yeah, that thing's really cool looking. All right, anything else? I think that's about it. We've been in here quite a while.
Yeah, we've had a good day. Yeah. No, I think, we've getting a lot of nice response on the forum. There were two questions, but basically one was, you know, are any of us going to be able to attend Flight Fest West in January? I'm like,
I highly doubt it.
So.
You know, us little after hours crew, you know, and working our. I would love to go out there.
Oh, no doubt.
Love.
Never been there.
Now, if they want to buy my ticket and pay me a week, I'd be more than happy. Yeah. I will be there. So yeah, that's probably out of the question for us.
I hear you.
Anything else? Any other questions or anything?
There was one comment about the new lens that DJI had put out, but I think we'll wait for some more feedback on that one. That looks impressive, but again, like we said, that is way beyond our price bracket.
Yeah.
Required skills, but I could see someone like Eric Monroe going, "Oh, gaga," over something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did glance at that, looked at it a little bit, and then I was like, well, that's way, way over me, so... Anything else? Is that it?
That's all for me.
All
man.
Right. Fantastic. Well, hey, thanks everyone for joining us and listening, and I'll jump out there and try to get this edited and out on the web for you real quick. I'll probably do the article and everything maybe later tonight when I get back home, get that out of there. So thanks again. One quick thing. If you guys kind of like the Periscope thing we did a couple podcasts ago, let me know. We got the equipment and the technology kind of now. We could do that. So if you want to hang out with us,
this would have been a good one to do because you're releasing it so quick. It would have been cool.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
on this one. It would have been very relative. I
thought about it and I was like, well, we'll next time.
Yep.
So we can do that, and you know, we can take questions too from people.
I think that would be fun. Yeah. I think that would be great if I could see the questions coming in as we're discussing things.
So maybe the next one we'll do that. So other than that, we're out of here. We'll be back in a couple weeks. I don't know what we're going to talk about then. Maybe some more crash stories, and we'll find something. So, again, thanks for listening. I do have some emails. I got it. If anybody has emailed me, I haven't got back to you. I'm catching up. Slowly, I'm catching up. But I will get back to you. Send me an email at chris@flighttest.com. Check out our Instagram page. We got over 3,000 followers. I don't know how, but we do. So we thank you.
Plus, I want to post something with your help maybe later.
Sure.
So I'd like to post a little footage.
No problem. So check out our Instagram at FT After Hours, or you can hit us up on Twitter at FT After Hours. So check it out, and we'll be back in a couple weeks. See you guys later.
See you guys.
Bye.